Welcome to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast, your resource for real estate strategies, tips, and best practices to take your business to the next level. There's no reason you can't double your sales. So let's get to it with your host, Kristen Brindley.
Hello, everyone. This is Kristen Brindley, and I'm here with the wonderful Michelle Yu. Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's such a great pleasure to be on this podcast interview. And hi, Real Producer. It's so nice to meet you here. And I really appreciate your featuring me on your November issue. That was such an exciting piece of article. And this Real Producer magazine has been one of my biggest favorite. I'm a big fan of it because it includes a lot of diverse stories. And we realtors, there has not been a platform that our stories got told. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much. And you were on the November, this is beautiful. She's on the November cover. And Michelle is an upstanding person in our Real Producer community. $91 million last year, top 1% nationally, top 100 club as well for Long and Foster. And, you know, it's been, 18 years in the industry, and just been a trailblazer. And it's an honor to have you on. And we really appreciate you sharing with our Real Producers. Success leaves clues, and you have definitely been successful and continue to be. So, I mean, you have a rich story. So tell us, you know, you could do anything. Why real estate? How did this come about? Like, go ahead and start from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very difficult beginning for me because I came from a different culture. I came to this country at age 30, and I spent 6 years in University of Maryland in the graduate school. And during those 6 years, I had three kids. And then I volunteered in the community for 13 years. So it never dawned on me that one day I needed to make money. And that was at a point in my life that I just needed to make money. And that it, so it was not by choice, it was out of need. And my friend introduced me to this real estate class, and I took it. And eventually it was there was this uncomfortable zone in me because I never was taught to do this with so many degrees. And so that was not by choice. I always emphasize that. But in the end, it worked out so well because the major ingredient in this business is the people skill. And I did not know what I came in with. I had already been volunteering in the PTA world and in local Chinese school community for 13 years prior to switching to real estate career. And I had no idea that I already established a big network that already prepared me for this business. And my very outgoing personality, always reaching out to parents to advocate for their kids, all those were the major ingredients that most new rookie realtors need to train to have, but I already possessed it. So it worked out very well because it's a good fit, but, and you know, there was no noble reason why I chose it, but it was, it was out of need, but I'm just so blessed. I'm so happy.
Well, thank you. Well, and thank you for your, authentic, honest answer in that, like, hey, I needed to make money. That's why I became a real estate agent. You have, a lot of education, and that was a major emphasis in the other, in your culture, and then coming over here, what all did you do prior to coming here? And, cause you have a lot of, you're a very knowledgeable gal. Yeah.
Thank you. So I was raised in a very Confucius culture where scholars and intellectuals are the highest hierarchy in the society. So growing up, I consider myself as the social intellectual that I was missioned. I had this mission to help people with my knowledge. So we just kept pursuing our knowledge and our degree. And I was a career diplomat. I had a master's degree in international law and international relations, and I got into Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Taiwan as the career diplomat. That's when I came out to America to pursue a different direction. But as an intellectual, it was so deep in my mind that life, the meaning of life, the goal of life is not to pursue money, but there is a greater meaning and greater contribution that we should do as an intelligent, you know, individual.
So that was a lot. I mean, that's a lot to overcome, changing that, like having both things to pursue, because you still, you know, I know you still pursue knowledge on a great level and you're really smart gal, but you know, to change that mindset and, you know, that, that must've been difficult. Is there anything that you can tell us that you did that might help others on how you were able to do that?
Yes. I don't know how many people would have the same situation, because I belong to the older generation, and I think a younger generation, they are more open to all different value system. But before, we just feel like, you know, that you are more noble if you are an intellectual. So there was actually, thinking back, there was a transition period. So coming out here, I thought if I could not continue with the diplomat career, at least I could be a professor in the college. So I went into University of Maryland to pursue a PhD degree in the political science. So 6 years later, with three kids, I realized that that is really not for me. A researcher's life is not for me. But it was so hard once you are so deep in the path. It's so hard to come out, because it's like, for all these efforts for nothing. And eventually I got the courage to just, you know, say, no, this is not what I wanted, but I didn't know what I wanted. I knew what I didn't want. So I decided to quit after finishing every courses and accept the dissertation. So that was age 36. Then I started to get involved in the PTA world and the local community. Wherever my daughters went to, they went to Chinese school on Sunday. I said, hey, may I be a teacher here? Can I teach a preschooler or kindergarten? They said, no, we only need a 12th grade teacher. I was like, boy, my kids are so young. I don't know how to teach American Chinese Americans in the 12th grade. So I just seized the opportunity whenever they came. That was kind of my luck and my secret. Whatever opportunity passed, I seized, I grabbed them. So I taught 12th grade when I had all these young kids. So many years I was teaching 12th graders. Then I became the director of the language department, and I did a lot more activities. But then in the American community, I was PTA president for my kids' elementary school in Cold Spring Elementary School. Wherever they went, okay, the middle school and high school, eventually I got elected to be the entire county's PTA president in 2002 and 2003. And that's called MCC PTA president. It's called Montgomery County Council PTAs. So I didn't know that that transition in the 13 years when I was so passionately advocating for parents and children, that already paved me the way into real estate career. I didn't know. And as long as I wasn't making money, I considered myself still pretty pure, not in that merchant group, but somebody was making money for me anyway, but it just didn't dawn on me. So those 13 years of very carefree, not worrying about money, whatever, as my ex-husband described it, you are just so spoiled, you don't need to worry about it. I did so much work for parents. You know, I was so passionate and advocate and make sure that if not now, when? This is your time. If not you, who? Only you can speak for your children, right? And I would go to different schools wherever they invited me and give a speech to those parents to inspire them and empower them. So as the community leader, that was what I did. I empower parents. If not you, who? If not now, when? You have to be your children's voice. So after 13 years, my oldest one was in 11th grade and there was no college tuition in the bank. So eventually I switched to real estate career and I didn't really understand. I kept thinking I'm making money. This is so bad. I'm selling houses. How could I be doing it? And I just said, I have to, otherwise, you know, I couldn't continue. But I was surprised that I had a very successful start as a new rookie in this business. And I didn't realize that I already had the skill, people skill, the power to advocate, to negotiate. I negotiated with the school system when I represented parents and students, okay, with the county council. So I didn't realize I already had those skills. And the most important thing is the network, the community, the connections that I already accumulated over those 13 years in both mainstream community and the Asian community. People already knew me. There was the name recognition, but I didn't know. I still tried to learn how to do the cold calls and got yelled at. And I tried to knock on the door, you know, but actually I didn't do it for too long because I got business. People drove and they said, that's our PTA president. They came in and they wrote an offer. So I was very lucky. And I just didn't understand in the beginning. That's how it worked. Okay. You had the network, you had the name recognition. You already had the great reputation. Okay, you did all those good things for people, not for money, but just out of passion to help them. So that really gave me a very successful, easy start. And so, yep.
So I would say from what you just said, and I felt your passion and how you advocate for people. If not now, when, you know, like I felt it. I have a feeling that that transferred into people being moved, and then that creates relationships. And then, you know, I bet you that has also helped with your team and everything else you're doing too, because you can move people. So
thank you.
I felt that when you were doing it, I was like, what do you think has been most challenging for you, like as a real estate agent? What's been the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge in this business is, here's the thing. So we are people person. We don't get to choose our clients and we don't get to know their background. And when you are lucky, you get nice people. They are genuinely in good faith in you. And there are people that would be the opposite. And so my challenge, well, what to say? So there is distinction between challenge and failure, right? So the challenge is really to try to accomplish everything and still preserve your own boundary. So setting the boundary has always been a challenging thing because I always want to bend over, okay? They are anxious, they are worried, you know, why houses didn't sell. That was prior to this year, because this year we are in the opposite, a very different market where there is no inventory. But in regular basis, when houses don't sell, when I overpriced the property, I took a consequence. But there was a lot of stress. And the challenge is to really know how to manage the stress and how to set the boundary. And you want to be assertive, but yet still try not to be too arrogant. So there is a balance to walk.
Isn't there? It is that is very challenging. What do you think has been most rewarding for you?
So this business is so rewarding. I can't emphasize enough because I started out of the need for the financial independence. So I think it is so rewarding on three levels, on the individual growth, on the emotional satisfaction, and the financial stability. So again, I have been so blessed that I could achieve what I have achieved today. So it helped me to fulfill my dream, to raise my three girls, to achieve their dream. So I paid these colleges and this four graduate schools, and that was so rewarding in terms of how much I could do from this career. And emotionally, client satisfaction is the most rewarding thing. Knowing how many happy clients that I have helped that were able to achieve their lifetime dream. They bought a house or they sold a house and they were very happy. They became my very good friends. They would refer other friends to me. So that type of emotional satisfaction is so rewarding. And the other one, I think every realtor would experience the same thing, that we grow so much every day in this business. As an individual, we grow internally, you know, in our knowledge, in our expertise, in our skills, you know, all different different problems. How do you tackle? Every day is different. And so all these are very rewarding to me.
Well, and, you know, we got to the point of you being a realtor this last, you know, 18 years, like you've taken it from yourself to, you have a beautiful team of wonderful people now. You know, what was that kind of like? What was that transition like? And what's your dream now? Like, so what did that look like over this last, you know, even the last decade? And what do you envision, you know, over the next one? Yeah.
Yes, so I have evolved a lot from being a solo agent in the beginning without understanding at what point I needed an assistant, at what point I needed to form a team. So I was just running around. At one point, I did 20 sales and 20 listings a year all by myself. But in the first 5 years, I went to emergency room every year. And I didn't understand that was the stress. So I was very ignorant. I just plunged into this industry, and then more and more people called me, and I was running around. And every year there will be some like tension headache or all different, you know, problem, or the short-term memory loss. All of a sudden, I didn't know where I was in the gym. So I got into the hospital 5 times in the first 5 years. And eventually I understood. And then I started to hire help, and I started to form a team. And I remember my past manager, back then we were in Falls Grove with Long and Foster, Janice Raffel. I always remember, you know, her help. I was so grateful. She told me that, Michelle, you need to form a team. I was like, what? You know, a team. So she helped me form a team. I had team members and I had admin to help out. And eventually my volume from 20 million to 50 million. And now last year, in 2019, we were 71 million. And last year in 2020, all of a sudden we hit 91 million. So at this point, I have a team of 8 people with 2 full-time staff. And so one is transaction coordinator. The other one was operations manager. And then I have 6 licensed agents. They are so wonderful. They are hardworking, experienced, knowledgeable, and extremely, extremely honest. And so they handle a lot of buyers plus their own sellers. They have their own network too. And I try to focus on the listing side, and they will help me with the buyers. Like the seller need to buy the next house and my team member will help. So it's been working very, very well.
So tell me about your team. Like, you know, what do you love about your team? Yeah.
I love my team because my team members are working very hard for our clients' best interests. And every day goes by, we cannot be more appreciative of our clients' support. Without them, we couldn't be here enjoying the success. And my team members are very, very hardworking. They are true professional, experienced, and knowledgeable. And they always look out for their clients' best interests. So I cannot thank our clients enough for their support.
That's beautiful. So tell us about, actually, what is your definition of success these days? Like, what's success to you, Michelle?
Okay, so I have a long span of life experience, and I think success was defined differently in different stage. Okay, so when I was in school, in middle school and high school, success to me was winning. I wanted to win, and I would enter a competition and contest, and I wanted to win. And the whole goal was to win that contest or examination, you know, testing. I just want, and I always was setting my goal, and I accomplished and I set the next goal. So that gave me a lot of satisfaction back then. And I was so pure, okay, in those years. But that winning, that concept of success carried me through high school and part of college. But then I got very, very drawn into Buddhism as a philosophy. I spent 3 summers and 3 winters in the Buddhism camp. It's kind of like our summer camp and winter camp, but those were for college students. So I was so fascinated by that philosophy and the practice. And we stayed there. We lived with the nuns. We woke up at 4 o'clock. We sang the sutra, even though I didn't understand. And we practiced all these rituals. So at that time, success for me, for almost a decade of time from college until my next phase. Success for me is to really help people, to be very, very kind and to help people. So that was a period that I wouldn't even hit a mosquito when the mosquito is biting me. It was a different practice. Then when I started real estate in 2003, it spread out for 10 years that I was so struggling with meeting ends meet, making ends meet. Because at that time I was a single mom and I was raising 3 daughters and I needed to pay the rent and pay the tuition and everything. And commission is not under your control. Sometimes the deal fell through at the last minute. And so I remember I was just, you know, trying to borrow a little bit of money here and there and then try to pay back. So in those 10 years, success for me is really just to have a nice survival, you know, just to help me make through the next month. And now that my daughters are all grown up and I am in a much more secure status, success to me actually is just being able to go to bed every night with a smile on my face, with a peace of mind and a clear conscience, knowing that I've done my best today. And that is so important. So I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, I loved your answer. And awareness is the first key to, I feel, living a great life too, just personally. And I feel like you're very aware. Tell us a little bit more about your family. Like you light up when you talk about your daughters and, you know, how old are they? And, you know, how, I'm sure that was an interesting thing. 3 daughters, you know, single mom doing real estate. Like,
Yes. So, my family, so I would start from my father. So my father was so supportive of me. And he passed away in 2018. But prior to that, when I started, he was always there spiritually, emotionally. So at one point I said, Daddy, this life is so hard. It is so cold out there. I need to go out and put the sign, directional sign on the ground. It's icy ground and it fell. Or sometimes the Daddy, this is so hard because it's 90 degrees out there, so hot, and I still need to put out the directional signs. And my father, probably in the 80s, would say, when I come to America, I'll help you go out to put out the signs. And that just warmed my heart. So he was there, you know, just like cheer me up. And so that was a very, very important factor as to why I continue to, you know, keep it up. And my 3 daughters, they are the love and joy of my life. I have 3 daughters. The oldest one is in fashion design industry. My 2nd daughter is an environmental scientist, and the youngest one is a speech pathologist. So the youngest one is working in a hospital in LA. The 2nd one is in Arlington. And the oldest one tentatively stay with me right now due to the COVID-19, but they are my biggest cheerleader.
That's beautiful. What do you think sets you apart, makes you different, Michelle? Like, what's the differentiating factor for you?
What sets me apart? I think I am a very passionate person. I'm also extremely honest and transparent. It's good and bad. It got me into trouble too, but I love to help people. When I was a child, I liked to do justice for my friends. Even I was walking through the marketplace, if I saw somebody lying, cheating, I would stop the person. And in school, I was the same. I like to protect my friends. And in the PTA world, I like to help parents overcome their difficult barriers. And also, so that's just part of me, who I am. And I'd like to help my clients to accomplish their goals in the biggest transaction of their life. And so my personality is one reason, one thing that I feel like I am a little bit different from, you know, some others. The other thing is the bilingual background. I think that's also very helpful. It helped me to understand different culture and helped me to build a much bigger network. And so these bilingual background and the bigger international network plus my personality, I think those set me apart.
Absolutely. I think so too. And I mean, success leaves clues. What habits or, you know, who you are, I feel like the way you're authentic with people and you're a straight shooter really does. I mean, I believe that's very, very helpful in real estate. What other like habits of success do you feel? What's made you really successful, do you think, Michelle?
What made me real successful? I think the reason for my success, I think it is the same thing. It has to come back to my network, you know, the hard work, but it's, I am just very lucky that I started with the network already. That's called a prospecting, you know, the farm. So I think that's the main reason.
You cultivate relationships. I feel like you're a relationship person. I am.
It felt like something was already there. It pre-existed my exam, my test, my license. It pre-existed. I didn't know it was waiting for me back then. So that's something, you know, in store in fate.
Isn't it funny? I feel like you were led to do exactly what you were supposed to be doing. That's so. Is there anything you'd like to share with the Real Producers? Anything you've done that you would, you know, highly recommend that they do or anything like that?
I know many realtors are already doing the right things, but I really think it's important to spread a little bit of kindness in this industry, because every realtor is trying to put the food on the table. Every transaction is important to them. And many times agents have a big ego and it's like a food chain. Okay, the big fish eat the small fish. And sometimes it's not necessary, we don't need that. So I always feel like we owe every agent, regardless of their age, their ethnic background, their years in this business, new or old, we owe them, or small potato or big top agent, no matter what, we owe them, you know, some kindness and empathy. So when I receive 10 offers and I only pick one, what about the other 9 agents, right? And it has always been my practice from when I, you know, started, that I make sure I give them a lot of respect and support and communication. And I thank them so much. Every email that the seller, thank you so much for your efforts and thank your buyer for their interest. However, blah, blah, blah. And I will keep you posted and hopefully we'll have another transaction next time. So that is just spreading a little bit of kindness to other agents.
I appreciate you being out in our community. And is there anything else you'd like to share with your sphere or to say on this platform?
I am just so happy to be on this platform And it is a great opportunity for me to share some of my story with you. It is a great industry that I am in. And sometimes there were challenges. And it is, again, as I mentioned, it's hard to select the clients, but when it was not the right match, what do you do? Okay, so all those were the things we learned. And every day you just learn a thicker skin. You learn a more sophisticated skill set. So I am just very happy with this profession that I'm in. And I welcome other realtors to come and talk to me, and we can exchange our experience and learn from each other and one another.
Thank you, Michelle. Well, you heard it here at Real Producers. Thank you so much for being with us, Michelle Yu. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast. To get even more information to take your real estate business to the next level, visit KristenBrindley.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and tune in next week. And until then, please leave us a review on iTunes.